wings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
To consider today, and we're calling our teaching "The Spirit Comes to Energize and Quicken." The Spirit comes to energize and quicken. It is sad, isn't it, today in a lot of Christendom where the Holy Spirit is not recognized as coming to energize and quicken as he should. There is so much emphasis about wanting power, power in worship, power in the meeting, and so on. But we have to go to the Word of God and glean from God's Word as to how he does indeed empower us, how he works. And he does nothing other than through the Holy Spirit. He has sent the Spirit of truth, and they all agree in the Godhead. And the Holy Spirit is the one who has the mind and heart and wisdom of the Godhead, of the Father himself. And the Spirit will never do anything contrary to his word. And they all agree. And that's why we have to be Bereans of the word. We have to get into the scriptures. Because if we're to be energized and quickened by the Spirit, then we must know what the word of God says with regard to this. God is not going to empower and energize just anything. It can be lip service. It can be a desire, a want. But unless we do it God's way and we allow the Spirit of truth in which to teach and guide us, it's not going to happen. So we're calling this today, the Spirit comes to energize and quicken. And he's come in order for us to be able to pray effectively. Because nothing happens unless we pray. And we pray according to the will of God. As the scriptures tell us that all things are wrought by prayer. So we need to know what God says with regard to this. And I want us to turn to something very familiar that we know in this assembly, in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. And I want us to look at verse 26 of Romans 8 and verse 26. And it says here, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So how do we know the will of God? And many, many believers, many, we all said we want the will of God. We want to know the will of God. The Apostle Paul clearly reveals how the will of God is known and taught. It's by the Spirit. Because the Spirit is the one who brings the truth. It is the Spirit who teaches us. It is the unction, the anointing. And God does nothing other than by his Spirit. That is why he sent the Comforter. That is why they waited in the upper room to be empowered, baptized with the Holy Spirit. That was signifying what God was going to do now in his house, in his body. And the Apostle Paul, of course, has been leading up in chapter 8, where he speaks about sonship, how the Spirit comes to bring sonship, to work sonship within us, so that we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That is his quickening empowerment. That is his work, so that we can overcome the weakness of the flesh. We can overcome the weakness of unbelief and all the things that hinder and we battle with. This is why we're calling this, the Spirit comes to energize and quicken. And that is exactly what he does. He not only comes to quicken, but in that quickening, he energizes. That is the empowerment. He's able to take us that extra mile. He's able to make us move and walk by faith that otherwise we could not do. He's able to make us war against the powers of darkness. He's able to make us conquer and triumph in Christ Jesus. This is the energizing work of the Spirit. Now, a lot of people may listen to this and say, well, I hear what you're saying, Pastor, but it ain't my experience. And the question is, it's how much we yield over to allow the Spirit to do that. Because of his fullness, we have received. We are the problem. And we will look at some of these things that try to hinder us from experiencing the power or this energizing, this quickening of the Spirit. So as I say, we've already read to you, likewise the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know what the Spirit pray for us as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, and so on. So it starts off with the fact that nothing is going to change. You are not going to experience this energizing, this quickening, unless you learn first to pray. Prayer is the root of moving into the deeper life. That is the key to it. And this, of course, is why the devil attacks. We probably are attacked more in the area of prayer than anything else. And we'll see why as we look at this teaching today. So when we read this, then, we learn that we are energized by the Spirit. But it's to be also our experience. It's not just something that we read, it is something that we enter into, and we certainly should with the deeper life. We read, don't we, that prayers cannot be in ourselves uttered. It is something that it's an extension that's given, that's added to us. We can, of course, pray in the understanding, and it's right to pray. It's right to pray over your food and pray a blessing. But we're talking here of where the Spirit energizes, quickens, that we go beyond, so that we don't know, we don't understand, but we trust in the quickening power of the Spirit of God, who's working through my intercessions. And we have to learn after the baptism of the Holy Spirit that he expresses the unutterable So it's not only just an empowerment, and this is why we make so much of the fact that if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, the evidence is of speaking in tongues. It's moving beyond the natural self, the natural mind, the intellect. It is an extension. It is something supernatural. It's something you can't explain. But out come these languages. As he says in verse 27, now he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. So by these languages and tongues that come forth by the Spirit, some of them are to be interpreted. Others are to be used in prayer. Some of them are to be used in warfare, or some of them are just to exhort and build you up in the faith. There are different expressions and anointings and utterings that come by the Spirit. Now, to be unutterable, it means that you don't know what to pray. You, in other words, have no idea. You're completely abandoned on the Lord for him to speak through you. And that is the prayer that the Apostle Paul is referring to here. And there's so much confusion in Christendom as to what he really means. But what he's saying here is, you have no idea, you're completely abandoned upon God for the purpose that he will speak through you. That is what it means. And you are to find out through these prayers what the Holy Spirit is saying. And this is why he can burden you. We get these burdens, or we become aware that I need to pray about this. And so in order to pray, very often you don't really know at first what to pray, but he's going to move you beyond yourself, beyond your thinking, your mind, your intellect, in the Spirit. And that burden, that concern that you have, has an utterance. It has a language. It is the Spirit that is giving you that in which to pray that. Are you praying for your loved ones? Are you praying for the salvation of your husband, your wife, or whatever it is? Then the Spirit will give you the utterance of which to pray that prayer according to the will of God. And doesn't the enemy try to attack us in those areas? Because he knows what the Spirit is doing and he doesn't understand it. Those demons don't understand it and they get very agitated. And so they try to get you away from praying, or they try to make you very tired. You suddenly come over tired and you can hardly keep awake. Or the phone rings, or somebody comes to the door, or there's interferences or whatever it is. They are demons stopping the Spirit from praying through you and me. It gives itself away. Why? Because you're praying according to the will of God, so that the will of God will answer those prayers and intercessions. Why? Because the Spirit has come to energize and quicken you in which to do it. In other words, these are really the prayers of the Holy Spirit. It wouldn't be wrong to say that. But we also have to remember that the Holy Spirit also uses us as living temples of which to pray these prayers and intercessions. As we're told, aren't we, in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, which you know so well, he says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" So we're beginning to get this idea that the Spirit has come to quicken, to energize. He's not only made us a royal priesthood, because priests, their part of their duty is to intercede and pray and supplicate on behalf of others. And he says, you don't anymore now have to go through a high priest. You don't have to go through purification to enter into the temple. You are the temple. Because the apostle says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? So that's where it comes. It comes from God, and you are not your own. That's why he's purchased us with a price. This is what he's saying here, for the purpose to be able to pray. I'm reminded in Mark 11, 16, where Jesus cleanses the temple. Now here is a lovely analogy to understand here. In Mark 11, let's go from verse 15. Mark 11, verse 15. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. He's really showing authority here. The Lord is angry. Why? Because verse 17 says, then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. Wow. Now why, what was he showing? What was he signifying? What was he pointing to? Well, he gives us some clues here. He says, my house is called a house of prayer. That is what it is. And then we read to you, didn't we, back in 1 Corinthians 16, 19, that he dwells in you. Your body is a temple for what? For prayer. Romans 8:26. Now what is he doing here? He's cleansing this temple. He's getting rid of those who are corrupting it. He's cleansed this temple of all the wares and merchandise. Because the Holy Spirit won't allow you to use your body for your own convenience. Can you see the analogy there? That is why it's important. Separation in our life is important. The world can so easily corrupt us and deceive us and defile us, and it hinders our prayers. That's why, because he says, my house is a house of prayer. And we see what Jesus did. Then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? I love that. Not, he didn't say for Israel, for nations. What is he pointing to? The Gentiles are going to be saved. But you have made it a den of thieves. And then, of course, it upsets the Pharisees and so on, and the priesthood. He was ruthless. He's angry. He's toughing it all out. And we have to keep our bodies undefiled for him. Now we can see why the Spirit comes to energize and quicken to do this work, because the flesh will never submit to it otherwise. And this is why we say, don't fight God. Simply yield to him and he will do it. He will energize, he will quicken. You see, we're told, aren't we, that the love of money is the biggest problem. And money was the problem here. The love of money is the root of all evil. Why is he saying this? Because the love of money can corrupt you. The love of money puts you into debt. Because money buys things that you lust for. That's why. And the world is in debt unlike it's ever been before in history. Most are in debt today. I only spoke to a man last week, and his daughter's just recently come out of university and so on. And in the course of the conversation, he said his daughter's in debt of 46,000. And he says, that's just average, that's norm. He said, some of them are in debt infinitely more. That's the age and the world that we're living in now. And they're not at all concerned of the fact that it's got to be paid back. You can only write off debt to a certain extent. Governments are. Councils are, they're all in debt. And this is the principle. This is what the Lord is ruthless on. And he will be with us. And this is where he cleanses us. And he cleanses us for the purpose so that we're not defiled with the world and its ways, for the purpose that we will be energized and quickened by the Spirit, so that we are used in prayer and intercession. And of course, you know, this lust for money can be disguised in so many ways and forms. Because let's face it, to do most things today, you need money. But it's whether God's providing, or it's whether you are lusting or scheming and working for it. That is the difference. And that's why he says, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We're not even to take thought, we're told. Because that's the principle. That's how he wants to do it, so that you are free to be able to be used of God. And not only that, but the other big area that we have to guard, and that is the conscience. Because we are responsible for our conscience. And maybe there are things that God hasn't quickened yet with the conscience that we don't know about, but he will. As we find we go on with the Lord and we go deeper with God, we find that our conscience has become more and more sensitive. What for? For the Holy Spirit to be able to pray through us. This is the area, in a way, the temple of the Holy Spirit works and operates through us. And a lot of Christians don't see this or don't understand this. And if we're resisting or sinning in the conscience, your intercessions will be hindered. Mark my words. If we're not yielding to the Lord, and we're all battling in areas, I know we are. We're all battling still in weaknesses, but they are things that we are in dialogue, in contact with God. In other words, we're not ignoring it. We're not ignoring the conscience, as the conscience is condemning us, revealing to us we have need of change. Don't resist God when he's saying you need to come before my presence. We need to talk about this. And you are trying to put it off. You're trying to push it away. We don't do that. Never do that. That is the Holy Spirit. That is the quickening of the Spirit, working healing, deliverance in you for the purpose to use you so that he can pray through you the will of God, his will for his glory. And this is why a lot of Christians are very apathetic towards prayer. You get very few who will ever make the effort for prayer meetings. And the reason being is they're apathetic, or they don't take prayer seriously, or whatever it would be, because they're not dealing with sin and unbelief as they should be in their lives. Because if you're dealing with it, you're going to have an appetite for prayer and prayer meetings. It's not rocket science, this, you know. And this is the main area where Satan attacks. And I think now we're beginning to see why he does it. Because he trembles. Demons tremble when the Spirit is praying through you and I, the will of God. They will fight tooth and nail to stop this, because they don't want your prayers to go any higher than the ceiling, the room that you're in. And when the Spirit takes over, when he quickens, when he energizes in prayer, in intercession, demonic powers are very fearful. I wish to God more Christians would learn how to pray in the house of God. What does Isaiah 56 and verses 6 to 8 tell us? Isaiah 56 and verses 6 to 8. Also, the sons of the foreigner will join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants. Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. There you go, it's a house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations. That's what the Lord said to those when he was driving the moneylenders out. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel says, yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. He's talking about Gentiles coming in. That's what he's on about. He's talking about others are to come in. And the Pharisees and the scribes and all of them were absolutely blinded to this when Jesus came. Had they known that, they would never have crucified him, because they were more concerned about outward appearance. But they were corrupt. Can you not see now why the house of God has to be holy, undefiled, for our prayers to be answered. And this is why we give ourselves time when we come to the meetings, when we come even online. We give ourselves time, we pray, we intercede that we all come with clean hands and a pure heart, a right conscience. We come in faith, believing. This is why I say pray for our meetings, pray for the word, because this is what you need, I need. This is what makes it acceptable before Almighty God. You know, when we come together, we shouldn't be too quick to talk about things and what we're going through and the trials and the week that I've had. We should be silent. We should be prepared, ready in prayer when we gather together, because we're coming into the presence of Almighty God, a holy God. We're still too flippant. We are not aware of this as we should be. And the Lord can't move always as he wants to, because he comes with healing and deliverance in his wings. So we give him time, we prepare ourselves, because we're coming before the Lord. We're going to hear his word. Our lives are going to be touched and changed and healed. You see, God has a way of making us desperate. He has a way of getting our attention. And we can so easily lose sight of these principles over the years because, oh, well, not a lot's been happening. And, you know, we just get a bit lackadaisical. But we mustn't. We must continue to experience the Holy Spirit that comes to quicken, to energize. And that's what we pray for. And so it is important to pray. As I say so often, our meetings, this assembly, will only go as far as we are prepared to pray and intercede. And it's very important, because this is how we mature, how we develop. So as we bring this to a conclusion, I think now, as we look at these verses again, what the Apostle Paul speaks of in Romans 8, we're now going to look at this and think of this in a completely different light. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So everything works together for good. I believe this teaching, God exhorting us today in this word, is for the very purpose that all things work together for good, for the glory of God. Father, thank you again for encouraging us, but also admonishing us. And we need to be reminded, Father, of these principles that we have heard over the years, but at times we let go a bit. Forgive us, Father. Lord, help us to come into your presence in the right heart and spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to energize, to quicken, so that we will be in the spirit and not in the flesh. And Lord, we have still so much that you want to teach us and to show us. Father, thank you. And Lord, I Thank you for our fellowship. I thank you for our meeting this evening, and that you make it possible for us. For this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Let him in constancy fall.